Dissolved oxygen. Okay, we're on to the one that is probably the most important chemical that is in the water for living things. We know that we need to have a lot of oxygen dissolved in the water for the many different types of organisms that are going to be living in that water. So, oxygen gas dissolved in water is vital to the existence of most aquatic organisms. Oxygen is a key component in cellular respiration, one of the metabolic activities in aquatic and terrestrial life. The concentration of dissolved oxygen, DO, in an aquatic environment is an important indicator of the environment's water quality. One of the very most important ones. Some organisms, such as salmon, mayflies, and trout, require high concentrations of dissolved oxygen. Other organisms, such as catfish, mosquito larvae, and carp, can survive in environments with lower concentrations of dissolved oxygen. And we kind of talked about that already, and how carp can survive pretty much really low in oxygen, warm water, murky, icky, lots of algae. But there's other organisms that need a lot of oxygen, like salmon and mayflies and trout. The diversity of organisms is greatest at higher DO concentrations. So diversity means the number of different kinds of aquatic organisms. If there's a high level of oxygen available, there's going to be many more different types of living things that can survive in that pond. Table 1, off to your right there, lists the minimum dissolved oxygen concentrations necessary to sustain selected animals. So in other words, it shows you in milligrams per liter there, different fish and insects that can survive in different levels of milligrams per liter of oxygen. And below that, they aren't going to be able to survive. Oxygen gas is dissolved in water by a variety of processes. Diffusion between the atmosphere and the water at its surface is one way. And so that's just directly oxygen dissolving from the air. Aeration, as water flows over rocks and other debris. So in other words, the mixing of the air into the water as it churns. The churning of water by waves and wind, again mixing of air into the water. And photosynthesis of aquatic plants, because remember we learned the process of photosynthesis produces oxygen. So therefore, if there are aquatic plants in the water, they will produce oxygen for the water. There are many factors that affect the concentration of dissolved oxygen in an aquatic environment. Many different things that can cause it to change, in other words. These factors include temperature, which we know that if we increase the temperature, dissolved oxygen does not want to stay in the water, right? Stream flow, because the faster it moves, the more it's going to churn air and oxygen into the water. Air pressure, there's more air pressure, then the oxygen will stay dissolved more or longer. Aquatic plants, because again, they produce oxygen. Decaying organic matter, because we've learned that if we have decaying plants or animals and bacteria are eating them, they use up oxygen, correct, in the water. And human activities. So if you look off to the right, there is a list in that box of sources of dissolved oxygen. In other words, different ways that dissolved oxygen can get into the water. We talked about them already, but I'll just reiterate them. Diffusion from the atmosphere, in other words, directly oxygen going directly from the air into the water. Aeration, which is the churning up of the water over rocks and debris, or even aeration from wind and waves churning the water up. That's just mixing the air with the water, both of those. And then lastly, photosynthesis of aquatic plants. plants produce oxygen in the process of photosynthesis. Back to the reading material. As a result of plant activity, DO levels, dissolved oxygen levels, may fluctuate during the day, rising through the morning and reaching a peak in the afternoon. At night, photosynthesis stops. Why? Because there's no sunlight, and we need sunlight for the process of photosynthesis, correct? But plants and animals continue to respire, in other words, exchange oxygen and carbon dioxide, causing a decrease in dissolved oxygen levels. Because large daily fluctuations, increases or decreases, are possible, dissolved oxygen tests should be performed at the same time each day. Large increases and decreases, fluctuations, that's what that means, in dissolved oxygen levels over a short period of time may be the result of an algae bloom. While the algae population is growing at a fast rate, dissolved oxygen levels increase. Soon the algae begin to die and are decomposed by aerobic bacteria, and those bacteria use up the oxygen. As a greater number of algae die, the oxygen requirement of the aerobic decomposers increases, resulting in a sharp drop in dissolved oxygen levels. So as the algae continue to die, the bacteria continue to increase, using up more oxygen in the process. Following an algal bloom, an increase in algae overgrowth, oxygen levels can be so low that fish and other aquatic organisms can suffocate and die because oxygen is so low. So off to the left, the factors that affect dissolved oxygen levels. In other words, those things that could cause the dissolved oxygen levels to go up or down. Temperature, because we know an increase in temperature decreases the dissolved oxygen in the water. Aquatic plant populations. So if there is less plants in the water to produce oxygen for photosynthesis, the dissolved oxygen can go down. And vice versa, if we have a whole bunch of algae overgrowing and then dying, the decaying organic matter in the water gets eaten up by bacteria, and in that process they use up oxygen in the water. Stream flow, in other words, how fast it's moving, because the more it churns up, the more oxygen gets mixed in from the air. And altitude and atmospheric pressure, because if we have more pressure on the water, then more dissolved oxygen will stay in the water rather than escape to the atmosphere. And lastly, human activities can cause a change in dissolved oxygen. The next page. Temperature is important to the ability of oxygen to dissolve, because oxygen, like all gases, has different solubilities at different temperatures. Solubility means how it dissolves, how well it dissolves in the water. Cooler waters have a greater capacity for dissolved oxygen than warmer waters. In other words, the colder it is, the more it can hold, the more dissolved oxygen it can hold. The warmer it is, the less dissolved oxygen it can hold. That dissolved oxygen wants to escape. Human activities, such as the removal of foliage, which means plants, along a stream, or the release of warm water used in industrial processes, can cause an increase in water temperature along a given stretch of a stream. And this would cause lower dissolved oxygen because the temperature is raising. Expected levels. The unit milligrams per liter is the quantity of oxygen gas dissolved in 1 liter of water. When relating dissolved oxygen measures to a minimum levels required by aquatic organisms, we use milligrams per liter. The process described in this chapter covers the use of dissolved oxygen probe to measure the concentration of dissolved oxygen in milligrams per liter. Dissolved oxygen concentrations can range from 0 to 15 milligrams per liter. Cold mountain streams will likely have dissolved oxygen readings from 7 all the way up to 15 milligrams per liter, depending on the water temperature and air pressure. In their lower reaches, rivers and streams can have dissolved oxygen readings between 2 and 11 milligrams per liter. And off to the side in table 2, it shows you percentage saturation of dissolved oxygen. So that's not in milligrams per liter, but it's in percentage, which we'll talk more about when we get to analyzing our results. But our results were around 8 and 7, and we had some 10s even, so they were pretty good dissolved oxygen levels. There is a chart, well, the chart up above on the page before shows you some minimum amounts, and so ours were much higher than 6.5 and the amount that a lot of organisms can survive in, which is good. When discussing water quality of a stream or river, it can be helpful to use a different unit than milligrams per liter. The term percent saturation is often used for water quality comparisons. And this is a question on one of your sheets. Percent saturation is the dissolved oxygen reading in milligrams per liter, which Percent saturation is the dissolved oxygen reading in milligrams per liter divided by 100% dissolved oxygen value for the water. So in other words, what it can possibly maximum hold. So you take your reading divided by how much the maximum amount that it can hold, 100% dissolved oxygen value for the water at the same temperature and air pressure. The manner in which percent saturation relates to water quality is displayed in Table 2. In some cases, water can exceed 100% saturation and become supersaturated for short periods of time. So that data table there just shows you what is excellent, adequate, acceptable, or poor for the amount in percentage that's saturated with dissolved oxygen for the water.